Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is the return of the Orange and Blueprint Knicks podcast, and I am your host, Anthony Houston, and I will be talking to you about the freshly done 2017 NBA draft, a lot of the rigmarole around the New York Knickerbocker franchise, and just at the end, I want to kind of just look forward to the free agent period that's coming up here, because the NBA never stops, and the circus, the tent of the circus is always biggest in Gotham. So I want to go ahead and get into it real quick because I don't want to take up all your time today. But I got to say that I'm pretty happy with the way things have turned out in the draft, specifically with the Knicks drafting Frank Ntilikina out of Strasbourg, France. And I know that if you haven't checked it out yet, go ahead and listen to our pre-draft, the mock draft that we do every year for both football and basketball, and I can't tell you how much I enjoy listening to that, so I definitely recommend it for you for fun. During that time, Mark suggested, way he had the draft going, that the Knicks should take Dennis Smith Jr. He was, by all accounts, supposed to be there for the Knicks to take, and it was going to be a choice of Monk, Ntilikina, and Dennis Smith as the heir apparent to the chasm that was the lack of guard play in New York since Charlie Ward or something to that effect. So that was the hole that we were looking at. And, Frank Ntilikina was kind of my pick. That's the guy I was really wanting. And with his ability to guard 1 through 3, he moves the ball. He can shoot a little bit. His handle's a little suspect, and he's still got to grow into his more adult body, his man body, so to speak. But, I mean, the way the kid plays, I've been kind of waffling back and forth between him and Monk. But I think we made the right decision. This is a not a swing for the fences kind of pick. But at the same time, it's a very solid pick. And if you have a guy that can guard 1 through 3, that means that the defensive efforts on in the orange and blue uniforms are going to be probably some of their best from on the perimeter in years, literally. And you're not going to get very far in the NBA these days if you can't defend the perimeter. So I'm really happy about that. And I think we got something that can put us in the right direction with Frank Ntilikina. One thing that I did just that sold me on him was that he didn't work out for teams, okay? And usually, you know, if you're listening to this, you probably know the players come in, they work out with the teams, they might go to dinner or something like that. Phil Jackson made Dennis Smith Jr. eat grilled octopus during a dinner for some strange reason. I'll get on to Phil here in a minute. But they do these things to try and see them in person, try and learn more about them, not quite hands-on, but that kind of thing. And Frank Ntilikina just completely skipped that entire part of the draft evaluation process. And for one of the best reasons that you can, and this kind of sold me on him, he was with his team trying to win a championship. So that's why he was not, coming out playing practice basketball for NBA teams. He's with his guys competing and winning for a championship. At this time, I do believe he is probably getting ready to start his next game in whatever their league is called, that playoff series. And that competitive spirit, that want to win, that could be very detrimental. That could be a thing that would maybe turn a team off, that he did not come out and work out, trying to allay those fears. That's a risk that he puts, a very legitimate one, and he has my full respect for just staying with his team. He did come to the draft. They weren't playing a game at that time, so he was able to literally cross the world to hear his name called, have that moment, feel that dream, do some interviews, and book it right back to France or wherever it is that they were going to play basketball. That's the kind of guy I want on my team, one who's not going to let important things like, his next job impact the want to compete with his brothers on his team. So that's something that I think is a real selling point for him on top of all of his in all of his measurables and things of that nature. I mean, I believe he's 6'5 with a 7-foot wingspan, something to that effect. So his ability to, again, that defensive flexibility, switching between ones, twos, and threes, that's going to be huge for him going forward. And that kind of length is something that you're going to need to excel in the NBA, you know, as a team. And he's not the only pick, but he's the one, he was the top, the number 8 pick. The next guy we got in the second round, Damian Dotson, another senior pick. I actually saw a funny stat that I'm of two minds on it. It's basically that throughout the Phil Jackson regime, the Knicks have only picked Europeans or seniors in the draft. And I believe as far as free agent signings also, I think that's the only types of players they brought in are, unless they're free agents, but Europeans or senior players. And I think that clearly it follows that Spurs model that I was hoping that we were going to get. But it's interesting because is that a thing where he's going to miss out on a good freshman American-born player in a situation where we have a top pick? Like, there were rumors that Phil Jackson did not like Karl Anthony Towns because his ass wasn't big enough or something stupid like that. So those kind of concerns on top of everything else with Phil Jackson are definitely legitimate. And I'm trying to hold off on Phil for a moment, but he keeps bleeding into everything as the team president or GM or czar would tend to do. But Damian Dotson, he does come off as a potential role player. I saw some things. I don't know much about this player generally, but I have done a little bit of research, and he looks like he can shoot decently from three. I think he was at around 40% from three. He's a good rebounder, a good size on him. He looks like a guy who would be a guy who came over playing football. He's got a very bulky, not maybe bulky may not be the right word, but he's got a lot of size to him, some thickness. He can play, it looks like he should be able to play a physical type of basketball. And if he can just move around, get those open shots in, unfortunately, the triangle that we play, get those open shots and play defense and rebound. I mean, that's what you want out of your role players. And at 23, I believe, I hesitate to say he's a finished product, but his potential is not going to be the same. But his ability to probably come in and contribute from the jump at, you know, maybe 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there, something like that, that kind of guy, as he develops into adjusting into the NBA game and relying on those fundamental skills he has from playing college ball for 4 years, those kind of things are important. On the flip side, come to find out, literally 2 minutes into looking into this guy, trying to find out who he is, what he does, find out he's got some sort of like sexual assault type allegations. A case was dropped against him. He had to transfer to another school. And that makes things complicated. And it's, I talked about this before in an episode previously with Derrick Rose and his situation. And it's like, you know, what do you say? I'm gonna take a bold stance here that rape, sexual assault, those things are bad. Controversial, I know. But I got to keep it real here. I think those things are bad. And a case dropped doesn't mean that something didn't happen, but it also doesn't mean that something did happen. So it's just going to be a thing where I'm going to admit it right now. I'll be conflicted on how to respond to this guy. If he's a guy who comes in, plays well, plays hard, does all those kinds of like stereotypical gym ratish, first one in, last one out of the gym kind of things that we hear about, it's going to be hard not to root for that, considering what may or may not have happened. The attachment there makes it difficult. And unfortunately, that's the reality of sport. So it's something that, because I don't know about it, it's something that is uncomfortable. I probably won't talk about it a lot unless something else happens to bring it up. But it's something that, you know, will be in the back of my mind that's worth, I feel like is worth discussing, at least at this time. So hopefully he comes in, plays well, and we'll just kind of deal with that. That's the intersectionality of life kind of thing. There was another guy we picked in the second round, and he was a late pick. And it's a guy out of what I can only assume is apparently the University of Kentucky of Europe or something. And it's the guy's name is Orin something or other. And while he looks like John Cena, he plays a little bit like a guy who imagines that he's Russell Westbrook. I don't know how to pronounce his name. I'm not even going to try it. But the way I watched him play, at first I was like, oh man, maybe he's got a little bit of Manu Ginobili, but really he looks like a guy who can do a little bit of dribbling, a little bit of passing, maybe a little bit of rebounding, but he likes to yam on people as much as possible. And it's interesting when I catch myself watching these tapes, quote unquote, like they were standing on the mark draft, watching the tapes. I mean, looking at YouTube. When I'm looking at these YouTube videos of European players, sometimes they come over and these highlight videos aren't like how we would expect them. I'm watching a highlight video of him, and actually, it made the clarification to call itself, or it was called or labeled a scouting video. And the highlights were of him missing shots and passing the ball out of bounds and things like that. So I thought it was funny that it was something that was shared, like, hey, look at this guy, and this is the video. But at the 58th pick, I believe it was, what do you expect? He's a draft and stash kind of player. I think that maybe if he comes over in a couple of years with his size and it looks to be like his aggressive nature of playing, maybe he'll be something that can kind of work as well. At least have another defender out there on the perimeter, or a guy who can move the ball or something of that nature. He looked a little bit, again, maybe like a guy somewhere between. He reminded me immediately of Manu Ginobili, probably because he's white and from Europe, but also looked a little bit more and more as I watched him. Again, like that Russell Westbrook style, that attacking style. And he looked like he was able to kind of do some different things with the ball. And I believe he's 19. So hopefully, as a draft and stash kind of player, maybe he comes over next year or whenever that is from this team that apparently just gets European players drafted into the NBA. Their best one was Jokic. And I guess he probably is the best product they have, but this is what they do at this particular team. And well, that on top of wear these garish uniforms that are pink and neon green. But so those were the three draft picks there. And I think that it's clear, I don't think, it is clear that with the draft, they're trying to go with length and defense on the perimeter. Those two things have been lacking for the Knicks for a while. And hopefully, Ntilikina and Dotson come in. I think that I saw a report that all three of the players. Orin, Dotson, and Ntilikina are going to come in and play in Summer League. So we'll kind of get a somewhat look at them and see what they can do. And hopefully those guys can be an infusion of quote-unquote youth, especially related to Dotson. Like I said, he's 23. So, but that infusion of length, these players are going to play with good fundamentals, be smart basketball players. So having that increased basketball IQ for the team, always a positive. Now we can talk about Phil Jackson. This guy. I don't know. I don't know why or how, who, when, where, all the question words. I have all of them for what's been going on with Phil Jackson. Somehow, Kristaps missing a exit meeting, which is bad, which is a negative kind of thing. Shows a little bit of immaturity in my own opinion, but that has become the fissure between the two of them that apparently was going to get him traded, get him being Kristaps Porzingis, highest draft pick the Knicks have had since Patrick Ewing, one of the best young big men in the NBA. Who is also the third option on his team last year, who had a point guard who just refused to throw him a ball off a pick and roll, who's done things, combination of stats that haven't been seen as far as three-pointers, blocks, rebounds, all that stuff. And Phil was apparently looking for a king's ransom, admittedly, but looking for trades or listening to trades. The line there is kind of fluid, but that's what he was doing. He didn't deny it, and that kind of sent shockwaves through basketball Twitter, Knicks Twitter. It kind of just jacked my whole head up. I'm not even gonna lie. So it was something that, and the more the reports came out, at first it was a thing, and I was listening to another podcast, and they kind of described the emotional, the social groupthink emotional process of it, and I thought they did a good job. And it was the and that was the Frozen Envelope podcast. That's another good one. But they were talking about how it was like, oh no, they're gonna trade Porzingis. They're listening to calls. Wait a minute, that's what good organizations do. Wait a minute, this is not a good organization. What are we doing? That whole kind of thought process, that emotional kind of railroad tracker kind of thing. That was exactly something I could identify with. And if you heard that, X team was looking at a trade for a young asset, you would think, oh, well, who's the team? If it was the Washington Wizards listening to trade offers for Bradley Beal, and you found out they wanted a king's ransom, you'd be like, well, you know what? Maybe. They're probably not going to do that, but who knows? Whatever. But if it's the Knicks, anything is possible. And I mean that in the worst way. So that's kind of where we were for days and days and days leading up to the draft. There was a rumor that was either the Knicks were pushing or Phoenix was pushing, or they were kind of pushing together, trying to converge on a deal that would send the fourth pick and Devin Booker for Porzingis. And shout out to my guy on Twitter, Scott Gower. We talked about that, and I was like, that is a robbery of highway proportions. I'm not a Devin Booker hater. I think he's a good player. He's not better than Kristaps Porzingis. And I don't think that when you're gonna trade him in the fourth pick for the Zinger, I think that you're still coming up short. And then they came out further along that Boston, with all of their assets, was trying to get in. They offered, I believe, a first and some of their assortment of wing players who can't shoot. And it was a thing where, like, oh no, they want, Phil's asking for it, multiple firsts, like two or three firsts, and a player. And that in itself is kind of approaching ridiculous. For a guy like Porzingis, when on same note, Minnesota stole Jimmy Butler for the seventh pick, Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine. So it's kind of it. When I look at everything in totality, it seems to me that Phil Jackson was playing a game of just trying to show Porzingis who's pulling the strings here. And I don't think he did a good job considering, Knicks fans everywhere were kind of like ready to riot on the idea that you're going to trade Porzingis for, a guy like Devin Booker, who is not a two-way player at this point, or you're talking about how you need to plan for the future when Porzingis is 21. And then they kind of let out some shots at him being possibly injury prone for missing 26 games in his 2 years. And it's like, well, you signed Derrick Rose. You signed Joakim Noah. You did these things that are not future-related moves, and they also missed more games than Porzingis. So you're kind of talking on both sides of your mouth there, Phil Jackson, and that's how people get slapped. Not that I am endorsing that. Someone running up and slapping Phil Jackson, I wouldn't endorse that. I would laugh at it, though, and I would laugh at it from deep down in my belly, too. But that's kind of where Phil Jackson is. And then on the other side of all that, there's this whole kind of undercurrent of these Woj bombs are a little kind of illegitimate, because apparently Woj, the infallible Adrian Wojnarowski, has some kind of beef with the Knicks. So he comes out and drops these erroneous things, and Then you got Zach Lowe talking about the team is a destination of last resort, which is probably not all the way true, probably not all the way false. But it's these kind of things that keep the churn going. And it's frustrating as a Knicks fan because I just want to know what's real. What are these people actually doing? Tell me when something is happening. If discussions are happening, I'm curious about that. But if it's just, you know, people don't want to go to New York, well, you know what? There are 30 NBA franchises or 29 or whatever. And dollar for dollar, if you're going to pick one and the money's equal, you're probably going to New York. That's just a fact, I would think. And if it's not, I don't care. All of that, this is why I do this podcast. I want to go out there and put out into the world a podcast about the Knicks that I would want to listen to. So Phil Jackson is once again screwing up, causing problems that don't need to be made. This is not how normal franchises run. And that's really what I want. It's just to be normal. Just to be a little bit boring. And we will never get there with Phil Jackson, I don't think. The one thing that's missing is now it's about time for Phil Jackson to start shitting on Carmelo Anthony again. I feel like we haven't had a fresh dose of that in a while, so maybe that'll be next for him. He's already tried to alienate Porzingis, the fans. Some people are going to be mad that he didn't take Monk at that eighth spot. I believe that Monk is mad about it. He kind of came out and was pretty sure, apparently based on interactions with Phil and Clarence, that the Knicks were going to take him if he was available. And I believe that Calipari also had the impression too. So that's great. Now we've got a guy who's some people, I was listening to Bill Simmons, he thinks he might be the next Steph Curry, something like that. Well, we got a guy out there who's going to have an axe to grind like Brandon Jennings did before he, you know, was able to play for the Knicks and realize how terrible of an organization it was. Who's going to come in and drop 60 on the Knicks all the time. But I'll wait for that day to come. Just wait for that day to come. So, Phil Jackson, he is causing problems in every which way possible. It just seems like the guy can't just stay on a normal GM kind of way, let alone not letting Jeff Hornacek really coach the team. So all that stuff is to say, fire Phil. I've been on the train. It's Phil Jackson is not quite on my F this person list. If you ever see me tweet out a hashtag F and then two letters, that's either Michael Jordan, Paul Pierce, Blake Bortles, or Reggie Miller, or Donald Trump. It's something of that nature. And he hasn't made the list yet, but if he was on some, I'm really going to trade Kristaps, I would never forgive him. Never forgive him. I would slander this man constantly. And if you know me, you know I got it in me. But so that's kind of where I'm going to leave Phil Jackson alone for right now. I do like the picks he made, but I do believe that Clarence Gaines makes most of our decisions regarding roster picking and stuff like that. Before I end, I do want to kind of look forward to free agency. That's the next big thing on the NBA calendar. I think that starts July 1, and I'm kind of hoping that there is a trade in the works. A trade should be made. Minnesota still apparently wants to get rid of Rubio. If that's the case, I would not mind sending Courtney Lee to Minnesota for Ricky Rubio. I think that that's a fair trade. I know they have Jimmy Butler now, so I don't know if they still want to do that. But if they want to play that kind of defense that Thibodeau is known for, that's a guy who can do that. And he's also another veteran player, a guy who's respected around the league for the way that he's worked his way up through his career. So I hope that that kind of works out. I still think that Ricky Rubio would work well. But I just want a point guard that's going to pass Kristaps the ball out of the pick and roll. That's what I want. Someone who gets him easy shots and can kind of help him increase his game. Actually, before I leave that topic of Porzingis, totally, I've been checking out his workout videos. This guy is putting on weight. He's getting a little bit bigger, which is kind of good, which is definitely needed for him. But damn, this guy is still small. It's just seeing him in regular clothes working out, it's like, Jesus, this guy is tiny. as far as, but he's also 7'3", so what do you expect? But it's just interesting to see him. And I thought I saw something funny. It was a story about how his workout videos are some of the most relatable videos, because he's sitting there, he's like wobbling and struggling, trying to get all his like squats and lunges and stuff together. So I thought that was just kind of funny to see. But as far as free agency is concerned, that's coming up. I'll probably, not probably, I'll definitely come back if something happens and talk about that, kind of put a bow on this part of the season. Once free agency kind of ends, there's a bit of a slowdown to training camp, summer league, that kind of stuff. So yeah, we'll look forward to that. I don't believe that Carmelo Anthony gets traded this season, this summer, or bought out. There's buyout talk. I don't see that coming. That's not in Carmelo Anthony's history regarding financial matters. He's usually trying to get every dollar that he can, which he should, which he's totally right to do. So I don't see that happening. And you know what? I'm of two minds of Carmelo Anthony being on the team. I like him as a player. I think he seems like a cool enough dude for his public persona. I want the dude to stay in New York. Point blank, period. I just like how he carries himself, and he's dealing with this deplorable kind of ownership management grouping, and he's still kind of handling it in a way that's way better than what I would, or what a lot of people would, with all this public admonishment from the team. So hopefully he stays. Hopefully we figure some ways out to make this team continue to move forward. And I think that's kind of where they need to go. Hopefully there's a trade there. We can get some more younger assets, especially since Ricky Rubio's 26 or 27 or something like that. Still kind of young. I think that there should be a trade between. Hopefully somehow we can kind of get an asset from Portland and take on one of their contracts. I've been kind of ho I really thought that there would be a deal where we would get a pick and Mo Harkless from them. I thought that would be a good mix, as we have cap space and they need to lower their salary. Didn't happen, unfortunately. We don't get everything we want, but I think there's still something that could be. I think they're logical trading partners with the Knicks for cap space, or to use their cap space and pick up something of an asset going forward. With that, I'm going to wrap this up, but I just want to, again, shout out the website, Hip Hop Sports Report. Check out what we've got there. We've got some articles on the Tupac movie that came out not too long ago. People have been shitting all over that, and it's been funny. Check out what we have on that, and I'm sure we're going to have more stuff coming up here for you. Thanks. Have a good one. Peace.